grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A dear fellow redeemed in Christ, today from our epistle reading, Acts chapter 2, we remember that amazing day of Pentecost when Jesus, the ascended Christ, baptized us, his beloved bride, the church, with the Holy Spirit in fire. For our text reads as follows. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they, that is, the apostles along with Jesus' disciples, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" So far the text. Along with the prophet Joel, St. Peter references later in the text, this momentous event at Pentecost also happened to fulfill the prophetic words of John the Baptist when he declared, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Here, allow me to make a clarification. For in a past sermon, I said to be baptized by Jesus in fire is a bad thing because it speaks of the final judgment when the world will be judged by fire and consumed. That, I said, is something that we as believers want no part of. To be clear, however, my statement still stands, but here, in light of today's text, I admit that it stands as incomplete. For here on the day of Pentecost, we see and realize that Jesus' baptism of fire for the church is not a bad thing, but a good thing. Here we get to see the full context of what it means to be baptized by Jesus in fire. For here clearly we can see that Jesus not only uses fire as a means at the end of the world to judge and consume and to destroy, he also uses a fire at the beginning of the end, that is at Pentecost, as a means to sanctify, that is to cleanse and to purify. In other words, as is the nature of baptism, Jesus baptizes his church in fire to both kill and to make alive. At Pentecost, among other things, the Spirit of peace descends upon the church with fire to burn off the chaff, so to speak, and to purify the gold, if you will. And as a result, we as believers come through unharmed, intact, and cleansed in the process. To this we say yes and amen. To this baptism of fire we say this indeed is a fire that we desire to pass through and truly have passed through collectively as one body, the church, for all time at Pentecost. Just as God baptized the Israelites in fire at Mount Sinai when he placed the law of condemnation in their midst, here too at Pentecost he baptized the church in fire of the Holy Spirit when he placed the gospel of peace upon her lips. For truly the gospel of peace, which brings life and salvation, is God's answer to the law of condemnation, which brings death and damnation. Therefore, at Pentecost, the Spirit of peace descends upon the church so that the message of peace, Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, can be preached to people of every tongue and every nation. At the Tower of Babel, God, because of that people's grievous sin, he confused their speech and thereby caused them to scatter across the face of all the earth to form their own nations. But at the day of Pentecost, this division is reversed. It is abolished, for instead of separating and driving people apart, the proclaimed gospel unites and gathers all people for all time back together into one body, the body of Christ, which is the church, a holy nation that makes a name not for herself, but for Christ, her Savior. Because of Pentecost, the Spirit of peace descends upon the church so that the gospel might be preached throughout all the earth. St. John tells us the result, this amazing work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation when he says, "In heaven I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Here we tend to mark the day of Pentecost as that time where the Holy Spirit begins the process of evangelizing the world through Christ's church. And truly, it is a new beginning. However, let us not forget that the Holy Spirit has been seeking and saving the lost since the beginning of time. When God first made the promise to Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis that he would send them and the whole world a Savior, the seed of the woman who would defeat Satan and save us from our sins, even then the Holy Spirit was at work seeking and saving lost souls. For even then, all who heard and believed God's promise, they too, like us, were forgiven their sins and counted as righteous as well. If we're paying attention to the Jewish calendar of festivals, the next one on the list after Pentecost is the Feast of Trumpets. And knowing that all these Jewish feasts and festivals point to Christ, the question then is, what is the Feast of Trumpets? Well, if we follow the sequence, the Feast of Trumpets signaled the end of the harvest season. Essentially, that is what we are waiting for. The sound of a great trumpet blast from the sky. This will tell us that the church's work has come to an end and that the time to celebrate has begun. For this Feast of Trumpets that we are waiting for is none other than the promised return of Christ himself. When the scripture tells us, "On that day, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." Therefore, says the Apostle Paul, encourage one another with these words. Here, as we begin to wrap things up, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's return to Pentecost. At Pentecost, the Spirit of peace descends upon the church, and because of this, you are even now, for Jesus' sake, fully and completely sanctified. That is, in Christ, your holiness is complete. In other words, you can never become any holier than when your faith is in Jesus' holiness for you. When your faith is in his holiness is counted as your holiness. And when Jesus' holiness is your holiness, you are as holy as you will ever become. For in Christ, who himself is your holiness, you are already here and now fully and completely holy. That is, you are already here and now fully and completely sanctified. For Jesus, who himself is your sanctification, he is already here and now fully, completely sanctified for you. Therefore, as sanctified children of God, you're called to walk in your sanctification. That is, you are called to die to your old self daily and arise to live before God in newness of life. In doing this as believers in Jesus, you will find that as you live your lives day to day from faith to faith in Him, you will find that the Holy Spirit is strengthening your faith in Christ as time goes on. Here then, we too can say with certainty that even though we are sanctified in Christ already through faith in Him, here too we can say that the Holy Spirit also is working in us a process whereby day to day we are being sanctified. That is, the faith in Christ which has sanctified us, it too is the same faith which grows stronger and stronger in Christ over time by the working of the Holy Spirit. This then is that process of sanctification which John the Baptist refers to when he says of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And moreover, as you find the Holy Spirit strengthening your faith in Jesus over time through the church's word and sacrament ministry, what comes with this is a keen awareness, again, that the festival of trumpets is coming soon. And that there, on that day, when Jesus returns to earth with fire, you also will be sanctified. That is, on that day, who you are in Jesus will be fully realized. For on that day, all your struggles against sin and all your failures where you have fallen to sin and all your pains and troubles and frustrations, they will all be gone. They will all be conquered and done away with forever. With this hope fresh in our minds, St. Peter leaves us with these words, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen.